Crux!
The warning wasn't enough. It came too late. The Crux dropped to the courtyard, landing in front of the open gates. The soldiers who'd been posted there, those of Ramses who'd stopped just inside Elder's entrance, died the moment the monster crushed them beneath her claws. She was enormous, bigger than I ever could have fathomed, even after years studying those paintings in the gallery in Roslo. When she stood upright, her head was three times the height of a man. All the other monsters we'd faced in Tura, the terrors I'd witnessed, nothing compared to the Crux. I gaped, unable to breathe or think or move. All I could do was stare at the female, at the eyes and feathers blacker than ink. Her talons clawed into the earth, gouging and scoring the dirt. The slashes were so deep, they could be used for graves. Her beak curved to a point as sharp as any sword. The males were always drawn with horns, but this female had spikes of her own on the front of her wings. With every swipe through the people in the courtyard, she ripped through flesh and bone. The courtyard was pandemonium. Ramsey's soldiers fled, most running toward the heart of Elder, while others near the walls urged their horses behind the monster, trying to escape her wrath. A few people managed to get free. Jocelyn tried to slink to the wall, but the Crux pecked at every human like a chicken eating bugs. My former lady's maid was gouged in two.
Alma, save us!
Arrows flew from the ramparts, most bouncing off the monster's body. Some seemed to find purchase, but the beast barely flinched, like they were mere pinpricks.
Take shelter!
He bent to retrieve the sword I'd taken from his grip, holding it in defense as he pushed me backward.
The spikes, go!
I was still frozen, watching the horror unfold.
Cross, run!
Snapping out of it, I whirled, about to make my way to the main road, but people rammed into my side, tripping over one another in their hurry to leave. An arrow zinged past my shoulder. I crouched, pushing forward with Ransom at my back. Screams mingled with the screech of the monster, the noise so loud my ears hurt as I weaved through people.
Watch out!
Ransom's arm wrapped around my middle and he swept me to the side. A soldier's body flew past my face. His chest had a hole in it the size of a monster's talon.
Hurry!
Ramson set me on my feet, urging me on, his hand on my back the entire time. He should have been fighting that monster, not running with me, but he wouldn't leave my side. Not until I was out of this courtyard. So I pushed my legs faster. I leaped over a body in my path, sidestepping anyone in my way until I was at the nearest spike in the road. My boots skidded to a stop as I ducked behind the wooden pillar. I looked to the courtyard in time to see the Crux slam a wing into the gates, nearly knocking them off their hinges. The vibration of that hit made the soldiers on the rampart above lose their footing, giving the monster a momentary break from the barrage of arrows.
Ransom, go!
I pushed at his shoulder.
Your mother!
Luella was still in the fray, helping an injured man to his feet. She looped his arm around her shoulders and began inching him toward the wall.
Evie!
I've got her!
He nodded, pressing a hard kiss to my forehead before he was gone. I needed to move, to get to the house, except I couldn't stop staring at the carnage. There were so many people. Where were Tilia and Halston? Where was Xavier? Kathleen? Someone had knocked over a burning barrel and the fire had caught in the stables. The boy inside was shooing out the horses, their frightened whinnies mingling with the shouts and death. My nails dug into the spike as I searched frantically for familiar faces. When I spotted Tilia, my body sagged against the post. She was running toward the wall, away from the monster. Her face was coated in blood, but beyond her, Halston and two other rangers ran toward the Crux. They ran to slay a monster. The Crux saw them coming and stretched out an enormous wing, the full span shockingly wide. Then she swept that spiked wing forward like she was clearing a path, catching those trying to escape.
Tilia!
She was in that path. Tilia bent forward, dropping into a tucked roll on the ground as the Crux's wing swept over her spine, missing her by a hair. Halston's body sagged when she stood upright, but he'd been too focused on his wife. He'd taken his eyes off the Crux. And the monster's talon took off his leg, tearing through flesh and bone. He fell to his side, eyes wide, blood spurting from the wound as his limb landed on the dirt. Tilia's mouth was open in a scream as she changed direction, dodging another wing sweep to get to her husband. She slid on her knees when she reached his side, whipping off her belt to tighten around his thigh. Ransom had run for his mother, to help her with that wounded soldier, but Luella pushed him away, shaking her head. He kissed her forehead too, then left to battle the beast. He charged the Crux, a streak of flashing silver as he did his own tucked roll, slicing at the monster's neck while he flew beneath her body. She reared back, then she snapped and snapped at Ransom, trying to catch him in her beak, but he evaded her, a blur of movement, faster than I'd ever seen him move, cutting into her wings and belly and neck over and over and over again. What the fuck did it take to kill that monster? Were her feathers made of iron? Ransom aimed for her legs, but before he could strike, the Crux stood tall and backed away. Her wings stretched wide, and with a single beat, she lifted off the ground. The wind sent a cloud of dirt and air into my face, grit scratching my eyes. The blast was enough to knock Ransom to the side.
Luella!
It was Ramsey's shout that carried above the chaos. She was still with that injured soldier, one of his soldiers, and their progress was slow, too slow.
Run!
Ramsey pushed off the wall where he'd taken shelter. She looked up, looked over her shoulder, but it was too late. With that single beat of her wings, the Crux leaped from one side of the courtyard to the other, and with a snap of her beak, she cleaved Luella's body in two. The monster flung her torso to the side. Her hips and legs collapsed. I dropped to my knees, mouth open, unable to breathe as tears flooded my eyes. Horror consumed Ransom's face.
Mother!
My pulse was so loud it drowned out all else. This couldn't be real. This wasn't real. This wasn't happening. The migration wasn't until months from now, until next spring. This was only a nightmare. I'd wake up safe in bed in Ransom's arms and Luella would be alive. She'd be downstairs, drinking her morning tea, waiting for Evie to wake. She'd be making notes for lessons, preparing to teach her daughter about arithmetic and science. The Crux turned to Ramsey, but then her head whirled at the sound as Ransom leaped onto the monster's back, his sword raised to drive through the Crux's skull. Except before he could drop the blade, she took to the air, tossing him to the ground. Xavier and three of his warriors had raced up the wall, taking up bows and arrows. There were huge crossbows mounted to the ramparts, remnants of migrations past, except Elder had only begun preparations. The blacksmiths had been focused on weapons for other monsters, the Barrowolves and Grizzer. They hadn't started forging the large Crux bolts yet. Xavier and his rangers fired at the beast in rapid succession, hoping one arrow would find its target true, maybe an eye to blind the Crux. But all it seemed to do was piss her off. She flew higher and higher, taking a few soldiers from the walls with her into the skies. I didn't wait to see where she'd land. I pushed off the spike and raced for the house, for a girl who had no idea she'd just lost her mother.
Evie!
I burst through the door, running for her room. Her bed was rumpled and empty. So was Luella's.
Evie!
Where was she? Where had Luella told her to hide? She wouldn't have gone into the streets, would she? To fight monsters? Faze. She'd be with Artarkin. I grabbed a pair of her boots and pants from her bedroom, then took the stairs to my suite two at a time, my footfalls loud, as I flew through the door. I ran straight for my room, dropping to my hands and knees to find Evie under my bed, her new stuffed rabbit, Mary, clutched to her chest beside Faze. Thank the gods.
Oh, come on, little star.
I waved her out. She shimmied across the floor, and as soon as she was free, I hauled her into my arms, her legs winding around my hips, her arms around my neck. I held her for only a moment before I set her on the bed to collect my things.
Put your pants and boots on for me.
She nodded, obeying as I moved without thinking, collecting my journal from beneath my chest of drawers and stuffing it in my satchel. I grabbed the dagger Ransom had given me, refusing to think of the last time it had been in my hand. And then I donned my weapons, strapping on my shoulder harness for my knives and adding my sword to its sheath across my spine. I slung Faze's carrier across my chest, and then I collected Evie from the bed, where she sat with Faze in her arms.
He's scared.
Tears glistened in her eyes.
I'm scared too, but it's going to be okay.
I took him from her, tucking him in his pouch. Then I clutched Evie's hand and led her outside. In the streets, people ran in all directions, shouting and crying.
Des?
Hurry!
I pulled her behind me to the main level and into the house, moving through the living space to Luella's suite. When we reached the bedroom, I let go of Evie's hand to shift the bedside table out of the way and open the migration cellar's door. Careful on each step, I took the same lantern I'd used earlier, lighting it on the top stair, not worrying about closing the door before we descended into the cellar, taking the stairs slowly until we reached the bottom. Hold this. I gave Evie the lantern as I dropped to my knees and popped open the hollow beneath the last step. The books barely fit in my satchel, but I forced them inside, closing the flap before taking the lantern. Evie's sniffles filled the room. Be brave for a bit longer. I smoothed the hair from her face, kissing her cheek. Then I took her hand in mine once more and jerked my chin to the stairs. Up you go.
We're not staying here?
No, there were no spikes on the roof. Not yet. Without them, there was nothing to keep a Crux from smashing this building to splinters. Now that I saw just how big they were, I wasn't taking that chance. The last place I wanted Evie was trapped beneath a house, but I wasn't leaving these books behind. We climbed. We'll go to the dungeons. It's going to be frightening outside. Just hold my hand. Don't let go, no matter what. Can you do that for me?
Yes.
That's my brave girl. We climbed upstairs and moved through the house, my heart beating so hard it hurt as we made it to the back door. I checked left and right and above for the Crux, and seeing it was clear, I stepped into the night. But we were not alone. Banner emerged from the shadows, from Brielle's doorway and the servants' quarters. Even in the dark, I could make out the wildness in his eyes that I'd seen in the courtyard when he learned that Ransom was Ramsay's son. He walked toward me with an eerie stride, measured steps. The hairs on my neck stood on end. I might not have thought much of it except for the sword in his right hand. Banner, where's Brielle? I tucked Evie behind me, searching past him.
Hiding.
He took another step forward, his eyes sweeping me head to toe, noting my own weapons. What do you want?
You should send that child inside, Princess.
My stomach dropped. I'd spent enough time around monsters lately to know the look of a predator hunting prey. I reached over my shoulder, pulling a knife from its sheath. What are you doing, Banner?
They made fools of us with their lies. Of me.
I pushed Evie away from the door, angling my body in front of hers. You're not a fool. You're a general with a fiancé who's probably scared and wondering where you've gone. Go to Brielle. Take her home to Quintus.
I made a vow. I promised to avenge him.
He swallowed hard, staring at me for a long moment. Almost like he wanted to let this go, but the ghosts of his brother, his mother, and his pride would not let him quit. He might have come to Tura for Brielle, but he'd stay for vengeance. By killing me, the person the Guardian loved most. Banner lifted his sword, taking another step forward. Gods damn it, I was carrying too much stuff. I backed away, sloughing the carrier and satchel while Banner continued to advance. Faze ran into Evie's waiting arms. I reached for my other knife, raising both as I took up my fighting stance.
Stay back.
Do you know what you're doing with those weapons?
Come closer and you'll find out.
I wanted my sword. I've been practicing with it more. It would allow me to keep more space from him than the knives, but I didn't trust him not to lunge if I made a change to swap out weapons. All I could hope was that the months of training, the countless hours with Tilia and Ransom, would be enough.
Put them down, Odessa. I vow to make this painless.
Fuck you!
The words were barely past my lips when he advanced and swung, fast and deadly. His sword crashed into my knives, tossing my arms to the side. He was fast, but I trained with faster and managed to stay on my feet.
Dad!
I backed away into the middle of the street. Ransom would criticize me for retreating, not my greatest reaction to an attack, but Banner had taken me by surprise. I wouldn't let it happen again. I took one heartbeat to reset, to breathe and bend my knees and find my center. I could do this. I can do this. I had no other choice.
And do you really think fighting will change the outcome?
He circled me with a hunter's gaze.
Do you really think I'll just let you kill me?
I tuned out the chaos in the streets. I put myself in a training arena with Ransom, and today, I would not fall. There was pure murder in Banner's gaze as he came at me again. His movements were that of a loyal and lethal general, swift and smooth. He was tall, strong, fast. But he wasn't as good as Ransom. And all those days I'd cursed the Guardian for the training meant I kept my balance. Every strike I blocked, every slice I evaded. Sweat beaded at my temples and my pulse was a hammer in my ears. But all those miles I'd run meant my muscles were warm, not tired. Not yet.
God damn you!
Banner bared his teeth as he swung for me again, his gaze flickering toward Evie still against the house, Faye's clutched in her arms. Would he go after a child to get his revenge? Would he use her against me? I shifted in front of her, blocking her from his view. The chaos beyond us grew louder and dimmer at the same time, like my ears were absorbing it all, yet dismissing anything that wasn't Banner, shutting out anything but this fight.
It doesn't need to be like this! Get Brielle out of here before it's too late!
I'll never get this chance again.
No, he wouldn't. If my father learned he'd tried to kill me, Banner's life would be forfeit. The same was true with Ransom. Banner was already dead. He was simply prolonging the inevitable.
You're not killing me today!
This was the reason I'd asked Ransom and Xavier for a sword. This was what I'd spent months and months training for. Not someone else to come to my rescue. To rescue myself! So far, I'd been evading his moves. Time to attack. I feinted to the left, then struck to the right. The edge of my knife sliced through his thigh, through pants not made of grizzler hide. He touched it with his hand and came away with blood. He stared at it, then me, like he'd never seen me before. He wiped the blood clean and came for me with movements uncontrolled yet lethal. I blocked his strikes, left and right and above and left again, over and over and over again, until the vibration in my palms made my hands ache, until the sweat threatened to loosen my grip. But I wasn't giving up. I managed another cut on his bicep, the blood seeping through his teal coat. He sliced from my gut, and when I leaped back, he took his chance to go for the kill. He drew one of those knives he was so famous for throwing from his belt, flipping it in his hand until he held it by the blade. My stomach dropped. I didn't know how to stop a throwing knife. Ransom hadn't taught me that yet.
Evie!
Xavier's shout filled the street as he rounded the corner of the house, racing for his daughter.
Papa!
Tears streaked her face. Except Xavier changed course, not going to his child, but running toward Banner instead.
No!
It all happened at once. Banner whirled, gaze wild. His hand moved like a bolt of lightning, flicking that knife, sending the blade tumbling end over end. It buried deep into Xavier's gut. At the same time, I drove my knives through Banner's. And the realm went quiet. The last thing I heard was Evie's scream. It was as if my mind had reached its limit. There were too many sounds, too many horrors to comprehend. Something had to give. It was the noise. It faded to a dull hum, and all I could do was watch the nightmare. Evie's mouth was open in a wail. Her lips were moving. He stared down at the knife, his eyes unblinking. His sword fell to the ground. Blood seeped from the dagger's hilt, coating his tunic. He wasn't wearing his grizzler vest. He'd left the house in a rush and forgotten his armor. A bubble of red came from his lips, dribbling down his chin as he dropped to his knees. Evie ran to him, pressing her hands to the knife, her fingers instantly coated in blood as she tried to stop the flow. A scream penetrated the nothingness, chasing away the silence. My own scream. The noise was an explosion so loud my ears had to be bleeding.
Papa!
Evie stared at his stomach, eyes wide and panicked. Then Xavier fell to the side, his shoulder hitting the dirt. The blood from his mouth splattered on Evie's face. I left my knives in Banner's body and ran for Xavier, my hands covering Evie's, holding the blood like I could keep it in his body. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. This wasn't okay. There was too much blood.
Papa!
Another piece of my heart cracked. Xavier's eyes filled with tears of his own as he reached for her with garbled, bloody words on his lips.
I love you.
I pressed my hands harder into the knife.
Help!
Gods, I needed help. A healer or magic or anything to staunch this bleeding.
Help!
I hoped anyone would hear.
Go.
His panicked green eyes searched mine.
Run.
Help me!
Where the fuck were the healers? Didn't they know people were dying? Xavier shook his head, gasping for a few last breaths.
Evie.
She couldn't stay out here. Not like this. And so he would bleed out on this street, alone.
I'm sorry.
My tears fell onto his blood-soaked shirt. Xavier's eyes fluttered closed as I pulled my hands away. I lifted my fingers to my mouth, closed my eyes, tasting his blood on my lips. I blew the loudest whistle I could muster, a whistle from Trio, hoping someone, anyone, would recognize the signal. The signal that things were not okay. I pushed to my feet, my balance faltering as I started down the road, past Banner's lifeless body. The fastest way to the dungeons was down the center of Elder, but I wouldn't risk being that exposed. So we'd stick to alleyways and gaps between buildings along the main road, slinking our way through the fortress until we reached the barracks. Hopefully, we could slip by to the wall, unnoticed by the terrors in the sky. I hurried to my satchel, putting it on again, along with Faze's carrier. I put Evie's rabbit inside and collected Faze. He was trembling by Evie's side. With him in the pouch, I lifted Evie into my arms.
Come with me, little star.
No!
She fought me, kicking and screaming as I took her from Xavier.
Papa!
I'm sorry. We have to go. We can't stay here.
I held her tighter, turning her away.
Papa!
She reached over my shoulders, hands stretched for her father. I marched on, arms banded around her until we'd left Xavier behind. She slumped against my shoulder when we turned a corner and she lost sight of him.
I'm sorry.
I kissed her temple as we stopped beside the toy shop where we'd bought Mary the plush rabbit. Today, that had just been today. A window of the shop was broken. A lantern lay shattered on the floor, flames licking the shelves of toys. The world was on fire. Where was the crux? I searched the skies, trying to see past roofs. The steady beat of wings, blasts of wind, filled the streets. She was flying, swooping down to pick at her prey, out of reach from Ransom's sword. Where was he? Helping people escape? There were people in nearly every shadow, people trying to make their escape from Elder either to the courtyard or the side gate. Down the road, the baker, a man who brought his wife flowers each morning, was risking a crossing of his own. His wife was clutched at his side. They were fleeing their business, likely trying to find a shelter. Like she could sense their desperation to survive, the crux swept down from the night and, with a slice of her talon, separated the man's head from his shoulders. My hand slapped over my mouth to stifle a scream. I used my other to keep Evie's face buried in my shoulder so she wouldn't see. The wife dropped to her knees and tried to put her husband's head back on his body. The crux circled around, this time targeting a building. She sank both feet into a house, lifting off a section of roof, carrying it for a moment before letting it go. Sticks and beams exploded from the heap as it smashed to the ground, blocking the path I'd planned to take, forcing us closer to the main road. I adjusted my hold on Evie, waited until the crux flew the opposite way, then ran across the road, not stopping until I was through another alley and ducked beneath an overhang. I slid along the wall, moving toward the corner so I could look down the main road, hoping to catch a glimpse of Ransom. There was a woman walking along the row of spikes. She had two knives, my knives, in her bloody hands.
Brielle!
She was dead out there. She had to run, to hide.
Run!
She stopped instead. She dropped the knives and lifted her face to the stars.
No!
My body seized. A shriek ripped through the air, so loud Evie cupped her hands over her ears. Then came the pulse of flapping wings. The monster dove from the sky. Brielle didn't make a sound as she lifted her off the ground, as she carried her into the shades. I hoped it was Arabella's heaven. My knees wobbled, the weight of this death too heavy to bear.
Evie, can you walk?
She nodded, so I set her on her feet.
We're going to run, okay? All the way to the dungeons.
She closed her eyes, fat tears clinging to her sooty lashes. I kissed her forehead, took her hand, and then we ran across one street, then the next. The beat of wings made me stop and huddle beside a wall as the crux swept down again. This section of the street was without spikes, so it had room to land. Firelight caught the monster's wings, making the black feathers glow red and orange. I ducked back. Fly away. Leave. Faze let out a squeak, his tiny claws digging into the fabric of his carrier, like he knew the real monsters had arrived in Calandra. The ground beneath my boots quaked as the crux pushed into the air, flying toward the courtyard. My body sagged against the wall.
Okay, let's go again.
On three. One, two, three. I pulled Evie with me, my grip on her hand fierce until we finally made it to the last building. Across from us were the barracks. If we could just make it to those rows of small homes, we might be able to get to the wall. But there was a large expanse that separated the town's buildings and homes from the soldiers' quarters. The gap hadn't seemed that wide before. Now it might as well be the Crescent. And it was littered with bodies and blood. Soldiers who'd come out of the barracks to fight. To die. Last push. I swept her into my arms, waiting until she wrapped her legs around my waist. I filled my lungs, willing strength into my legs. Then I tore off, leaping over bodies, over entrails and gore. I reached the barrack rows but didn't stop. I set my gaze on that dark stone at the back of the fortress and kept pushing. Never more grateful for the laps and laps I had run around Elder and Trio. My stamina wasn't shit, not anymore. But I was no match for a massive flying monster. A wind pushed hair into my face, a wind so powerful it pushed me forward.
Down!
Ransom's voice came from my side. Ugh. I dropped to my knees, my body curling around Evie's as I craned my neck to the sky. The monster came like an arrow, shot straight and true. Her talons were extended, ready to sink into our bodies, to steal us off the ground. All I could do was hope she would take me and not Evie. I loosened my hold, putting an inch of space between my body and hers as I braced for the impact. But it came from the side, not above, as Ransom barreled into us both, hurling us out of the Crux's path. Pain exploded through my shoulder as we rolled. Ransom's body slammed into mine, but he made sure Evie was cushioned against his chest. He landed beside me, his sister clutched in his arms and his eyes on the sky. I looked up in time to see the Crux choose another target, a horse that was galloping away, trying to run free.
Odessa!
Ransom's silver eyes were wild as he scooped up Evie and helped me to my feet, pulling me to the closest barrack house. He set her down, his hands roaming her body, and then mine, searching for injury.
I'm okay, but Xavier, he's...
I couldn't say it. Wouldn't say it. His silver eyes flashed with disbelief, then anguish. He dropped his forehead to mine. The Crux's war cry, a death promise. He leaned back, eyes searching mine as he threaded his fingers, slick with blood, into my hair.
It's not safe for you here.
He wasn't talking about the fortress. He wasn't talking about Elder. It wasn't safe for me in Tura. Not if his theory was correct and these monsters were drawn to me. Not if the migration was starting already. He'd said it himself months ago. Quintus was always better at hiding than fighting. And for the migration, all we could do was run and hide. I shook my head, desperate for another way.
What about you?
He pressed his lips to my forehead.
Go.
Ransom!
Please.
He untangled his hands from my hair. Then, with a hopelessness the depths of which I'd never seen before, he unclasped the cuff on his forearm and fastened it around mine.
You know what this is?
The road to Alisaria.
Yes.
I don't know where my father went. If he's still in the fortress, then you cannot be. Neither can Evie.
Does he know about the dungeon and the tunnel?
Probably.
Shit. Then Trio. I'll find my way to the encampment and wait there. I remembered most of the path. Granted that had been in the light, but I'd find it by sheer will alone.
Walk toward Orinda.
He pointed to the moon above.
She will lead you to Trio.
All right.
If I don't arrive by the day after tomorrow, you must go. Take Evie from Tura. Do what needs to be done.
Give my father what he'd been after all this time. Even if it meant Tura, Calandra would be changed forever.
Are you certain?
This could mean the death of the Vostr, the end of Alisaria, the spread of Lysa. I had no idea what my father was planning. He hadn't trusted me with his truths.
I trust you.
Ransom tucked a curl away from my face as the beat of wings grew louder and louder. Then his mouth crushed mine in a hard kiss that ended too soon. I wouldn't get a long goodbye, not with that monster in the skies.
I love you, Evie. Stay with Odessa.
He bent to kiss her hair, then took a step away, looking up to the night, his jaw clenched, his grip on his sword tightening.
Run. Now, Cross.
Hot tears dripped to the dirt at my boots.
I love you.
Yes, you do. Don't forget.
Never.
Neither will I.
His throat bobbed as he swallowed,
I will find you, here or in the shades.
The Crux landed at his back, the ground shaking as she dropped. And Ransom, my guardian, turned to fight. To show that bitch who the real monster in Calandra was. To give us time to run. He kept the Crux away long enough for me to pick up Evie and sprint through the remainder of the barracks. I risked a backward glance at the last row. The Crux flew into the air, high above the fortress's towering walls, beating black wings, a screech ripping from her throat, and Ransom in her talons. My heart cleaved in two. He'll be okay. He'll kill the Crux. I told Evie this as I forced one foot in front of the other until we reached the dungeon. He'd kill the monsters. He'd kill them all. And then he'd find me. There was no other outcome that I'd accept. We'll see him in Trio. Come on. I pulled Evie along the dark walls of the dungeons, letting my eyes adjust and using my feet to feel for the lantern that had been here last time. I kicked it over, but I bent and picked it up, using a match from its tray to light the wick. Squinting against the sudden brightness, I held it high with one hand, taking Evie's in my other as we made our way to the hidden tunnel entrance. Her footsteps were getting sluggish, like her body was shutting down from the stress of this night.
We'll rest in a minute.
First, I wanted to be behind that tunnel's door. It opened with a hard push of my shoulder, the air inside stale and dank. The tunnel was tall and wide, the darkness eating the lantern's light. We walked to the first corner, and when I rounded the smooth stone edge, I flinched at another light. Then I felt the crawling sensation of spiders on my skin. We weren't alone.
Do not run.
Brother Dime appeared from the shadows, and if not for the horse at his back, I would have turned around. He held Freya's reins, my darling horse alert but not scared. What do you want? I pushed Evie behind me.
You must come with me now, child.
It wasn't a suggestion. Ramsay had said Brother Dime wanted me, and he'd found me. Why?
Does this have anything to do with my mother?
He didn't answer. He simply turned Freya around and led us through the tunnel to the hatch that opened beyond the walls, into the forest. Brother Dime was careful not to touch me as he handed me the reins. That caution was the only reason I didn't climb onto Freya's back and ride across the continent. I didn't trust the Voster, but Ransom did. That was enough for tonight. Up you go. I put Evie in the saddle first and handed her the lantern before I settled in behind her. She sagged into my arms, her nose pressing against my chest. Her hand slipped into Faze's carrier, taking his paw. I kissed her cheek, feeling tears on my lips.
Hold tight, little star. You're safe.
It was a lie, but I said it anyway. Brother Dime lifted his bony hand, holding up a single finger, and sent a whoosh of air to the lantern, extinguishing the flame. And then he led us into the night.
My boot squelched in a puddle of blood. There were too many to avoid. They soaked the ground as if they'd come from a heavy rain. The stench of gore and death clung to the air. I walked through the rows and rows and rows of bodies in the courtyard, counting each as I passed. The number would never be accurate. Men, women, children. So many had met gruesome fates that it would be impossible to fit pieces together, to make holes from halves. Kathleen stood at the end of the last row, staring at the body stretched on the ground awaiting a grave. My mother's body. A sheet covered most of her form, but I knew the fabric of her robe. It had been my gift to her last year at the equinox. Pain and grief swelled so fast they choked, but I swallowed the emotions down, pushing them deep where they could fester and grow, where they would live to fuel my rage. The fires that had broken out during the attack had finally stopped burning. A few buildings were nothing but cinders and ash. After the Crux had died, the survivors and Elder had managed to snuff out the flames. The walls were still standing, but the gates leaned on each other like two pieces of straw, ready to collapse at the first strong breeze. At some point, while I'd been knocked out, my father and his surviving soldiers had left through those gates. The bastard. I'd deal with him later. Kathleen wiped at her cheeks, at the endless tears. Her hair hung limp around her shoulders, and the hem of her dress was soaked red. I stopped at her side and took her hand, staring down at my mother's boots. There was a good chance that another body would join these rows. Maybe two. Halston was fighting for his life in the infirmary. So was Xavier. A healer, Gisela, had found Xavier's body last night. She'd heard a whistle she'd learned from her time as a healer in Trio. She'd warned me to prepare for the worst, that no man could likely survive such a wound. When Tilia had overheard, she'd told Gisela to fuck off and save Xavier's life. By sheer, stubborn will, Tilia would see that Halston survived his injury, and she'd see to it that Xavier lived to witness another dawn. The circlet that normally kissed his brow was tucked away in my vest. He'd sacrificed enough for Tura, for me. If Xavier, Dre, lived, then it was time for his life to be his own. No more pretending. I pressed a kiss to Kathleen's temple, squeezing her hand, then stepped past my mother's body and walked to the one corpse that rested alone. In the center of the courtyard, a woman's naked body rested in a pool of blood. I crouched beside the figure, surveying it from head to toe for the 10th time. Was this real? Or were my eyes playing a trick on me? Had the crash addled my mind and memory? After Odessa had fled to the dungeon with Evie, the Crux had plucked me off the ground and carried me into the sky, probably to drop me from some unfathomable height, but the bitch hadn't counted on my rage. I'd driven my sword into her chest, straight into her heart, and then we'd fallen from the shades. The monster had taken the brunt of the impact, but I'd been thrown hard enough that, when I woke, the faint rays of morning were kissing the horizon. There should have been a monster's lifeless body in the courtyard. There should have been a winged beast with my sword in its chest. Instead, I'd pulled my sword from this woman's body. A woman with red hair. The spiraling curls, a mix of orange and strawberry and copper. Odessa's hair. I unsheathed a knife from my belt and sheared off a lock. Then I tucked it into my vest beside Xavier's circlet. My circlet. I stood, taking one last look at the woman. The Crux. Have you seen or heard of this before? Kathleen appeared at my side.
No. Any Crux killed was just a monster. What do you think this means?
I don't know, but I intended to fucking find out. I stepped over the woman's body, looking to the soldier standing guard.
Burn it.
Yes, sir.
The soldier nodded as I strode past him for the gates.
Where are you going?
I kept walking. To find my wife.
Shield of Sparrows is a graphic audio production. Copyright 2025 by Devney Perry, LLC. All rights reserved. Recorded with the permission of the author. Production copyright 2026, Graphic Audio, LLC. All rights reserved. Unauthorized download and or duplication is prohibited. Written by Devney Perry. Adapted and directed by Colleen Delaney. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Airy Weaver, including original music by Airy Weaver. Performed by Stephanie Namet Parker as Odessa and narrator, John Vertulo as Ransom, Allie Casey as Evie, Elena Anderson as Luella, Christopher Walker as Samuel, Brian Kim McCormick as Xavier, Zuleika Wundla as Tilia, Colleen Delaney as Kathleen, Ian DePriest as Jonas, Christopher Williams as King Ramsay, Tatiana Ridgway as Jocelyn, and Gerald Hill as Banner, with additional performances by Bradley Foster Smith, Rob McFadgen, Gabriel Michael, Tia Shearer, George Kopis, Michael John Casey, Karen Novak, and Terrence Aselford. Produced by Colleen Delaney, Scott McCormick, David Zitney, Casey Green, and Aaron Coe. Executive producers, Angie Cornett, Dwayne Beeman, and Matt Webb. Keep listening to hear sample clips from Elise Kova's Married to Magic, A Dawn with the Wolf Knight, and Janine Frost's Night Huntress, Up from the Grave, now available in graphic audio, along with our whole catalog of exciting releases at www.graphicaudio.net.
Evander presses his eyes shut and pinches the bridge of his nose.
Goddess, help me. You are relentless.
I know. Why does that bring a tired smile to my face? Evander looks around, somewhat nervously.
Conry commanded it. He saw you that night when you took Aurora. He wanted to hurt you. I tried to refrain, but Bardolph had heard the order. We had a minor disagreement over it, but there was no getting around it.
A minor disagreement. The bruise I saw on his cheek when I first laid eyes on him is so faint, it's hard to see now. But it looks like someone might have punched him. Or... The thoughts take a second to form in my head. They're darker than I imagined, and my mind doesn't want to believe them.
Were you supposed to kill me?
He says nothing. Once more, it's my answer. My blood is cold. I will be forced to marry a man who had ordered my death.
Were you going to tell him that you had done the deed when he asked? That you had killed me?
Bardolph knew the truth. I would have said you weren't there. The truth. Conry wouldn't have faulted us for not pursuing you when our focus was Aurora, and we had her.
And if Bardolph hadn't been there?
What does this hypothetical matter?
It matters very much to me. It matters if you're protecting me or not. In your own way.
I told you. I have done horrible things. Things that would make your throat burn with nausea. I will continue to do horrible things so long as that man is in power.
His expression softens.
But it is not because I want to. I desperately, desperately cling to whatever shred of decency I can because...
Because I hang on his words. He takes a small step forward.
Because I like to dream that one day I might be free of him. And when I am, I would like to be a man that can sleep at night.
I have the urge to throttle you with one hand and cradle you with the other. Holy shit! Is this how I've made you feel all these years?
Well...
Oh, one could argue I had this coming.
Suddenly, Bone snatched me up. The abrupt change in velocity snapped my head back hard enough to break my neck. But before the pain even registered, I saw it.
Motherfuck.
Networks of lasers hung like a spider web in front of us. The same light blue color of the walls. And so close that if I reached out, I'd lose my fingers.
Three more steps and Madigan would be scooping up our remains with a shovel.
Then Bones flung me to the floor and flattened himself on top of me. Now I had a broken jaw and rib cage too. But when a hail of bullets sailed over our heads instead of into them, I didn't mind.
Bloody sod. Let's see how they enjoy their own trap.
The guards who'd come out of hiding to shoot us abruptly became airborne and hurtled toward the laser net.
Ew.
All right, kitten.
Fine.
As Bones pulled me to my feet, I made sure not to look around. Sure, I was no stranger to the ugliness of death. Today alone, I'd killed lots of people, and intended to add to that tally. But this was gross.
Can you take down that laser net, or do we need to find a way around it?
Bones closed his eyes, his brows drawn together in concentration. The lasers disappeared moments later. I shook my head, torn between awe and irritation.
You didn't graduate to Mega Master abilities overnight. Which means only one thing. You've been hiding it from me.
Well...
You have a lot of explaining to do.
I know. But later.
Thanks for listening to this Graphic Audio production. Graphic Audio has over 1,700 titles to choose from. Listen to over 225 binge-worthy series. We feature titles in genres like science fiction, fantasy, romantasy, westerns, mystery thrillers, comics, and more. Check out our exclusive series such as Deathlands, Rogue Angel, Outlanders, Tangent Knights, and Agent of Exiles, which are only available in our dramatized adaptation format. Experience a radically different type of audiobook produced with a full cast, sound effects, and cinematic music. Listen to a movie in your mind, on the go, anytime, anywhere. Our dramatized adaptation titles are available at all major audiobook retailers and platforms. Sign up for our email newsletter for the latest updates and new releases. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and other social platforms. For more information and samples of all our titles, visit our website at graphicaudio.net.